Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you today as we gather together on this day, this Sunday, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, thank you for coming out on this rainy day, this dreary day, but this is the day, as we have been reminded, that God has made, and this is the day that we are called to rejoice as we come together to, as God's people here in this place. Just have a number, couple of things that to inform you about, some of which you have already heard from the past several weeks. The Presbyterian women will be having their fall gathering. That's going to be November the 12th at 10 o'clock here. So please be here to participate in that. They always have a wonderful time whenever the Presbyterian women gather. So again, that's going to be November the 12th at 10 a.m. Alice Hughes will be here for that. She is an elder care lawyer who gives a presentation on the importance of wills and important health care decisions. So please come and be a part of that. Important information will be given out. Some of you, a couple of you have asked me about that in the past. So on November the 12th will be an opportunity for you to get caught up and informed about important things like estate planning and other topics. On next Saturday, October the 8th, will be the Alney Presbyterian Fall Fest. We are calling it A Taste of Alney. It will be a wonderful opportunity to come to taste the various cultures that comprise Alney, the community of Alney, and also comprise the makeup of this congregation. So that's going to be on October the 8th, beginning at 2 p.m. and lasting until 4 p.m. So please come and be a part of that as well. Again, there are other things that are happening at Alney Presbyterian Church. Please make sure that you not only read your bulletin, but also go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of the happenings here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
A scripture reading this morning comes from the epistle of Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 14. Listen to God's word for us. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, I long night and day to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you. Hence I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Do not be ashamed then of testifying to our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but take your share of suffering for the gospel in the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in virtue of his own purpose and the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus years ago, and now has manifested through the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, and therefore I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard against that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me. In the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. May God bless this reading from His holy word.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 17th chapter of Luke's gospel, beginning at verse 5 and reading through verse 10. It is found on page 910 of your pew Bibles, but let us now listen to God's word for us. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, 'Be rooted up and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterward you shall eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that is commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty.'" It's the word of the Lord. Amen. The writer Kurt Vonnegut is in a poem that he wrote for the New Yorker magazine, recalls a conversation he had with another famous writer and friend, Joseph Heller, who wrote the famous novel Catch 22. They were both at a party on Shelter Island, which was being hosted by a billionaire. And at one point, Vonnegut turns to Heller and asks, "Joe, how does it make you feel to know that our host only yesterday may have made more money than your novel Catch 22 has earned in its entire history?" And Heller replied, "That's okay, because I've got something that our hosts can never have." "What on earth is that?" Vonnegut asked. And Heller replied, "Enough." If you're like me, it may be hard to accept sometimes that we may have enough. It always seems like we need more of everything, especially around here sometimes. It always seems that we need more. More resources to do the things that we would like to do, more people to kind of spread the labor of the things that we would like to do, more time so that we would be able to do it. We are always in need of more. Never seem to have enough. As Barbara Brown Taylor notes, we waste a great deal of time and energy looking for the key to the treasure box of more. But there's one thing this morning that we all have. One thing this morning that we have absolutely enough of, and it is one of the most valuable things, one of the most precious things we can have, and that is faith. You and I, individually and collectively, we have enough faith. We don't need any more. We have all the faith that we need. All the faith to do the work that God has called us to do. All the faith to be God's people. When it comes to faith, we have enough. That's what Jesus tells us in our gospel lesson this morning. It may be indeed the only time in the gospel narratives where Jesus says no to someone's prayer request. His disciples come to him and they've got a prayer request, and what a wonderful prayer request it is on the part of the disciples. Out of all the things they could ask Jesus, out of all the things they could pray for, the thing that they pray for is to have more faith. "Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that a wonderful thing to pray for? A spiritually matured thing to ask for? I would think that Jesus would be delighted that his disciples are spiritually mature enough to ask for their faith to be increased. And yet, Jesus responds by saying essentially, no. You already have enough faith. You don't need anymore. You have enough. You have all the faith you need. And that's true of us as well. This morning, we have all the faith we need here at Olney Presbyterian Church, all the faith we need. If we don't have enough of anything else, we have enough of that, enough faith. We are mindful that there are various aspects of faith, of course. Often when we think of faith, we think about faith as believing in something. That is, we think about faith as assenting to a set of propositions intellectually. I believe in this with my mind. Often people say, I believe in God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's a God out there. I believe in a loving, gracious God. But what they mean is that they believe that in intellectually. They believe that God exists. They believe that Jesus was crucified. They believe that Jesus is God's son. They believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. They believe all of that with their minds, and that's okay as far as it goes. But faith is more than just believing something. Faith is more than simply assenting to a set of propositions or doctrines. Faith is much more than that. Faith is also about trust. To say that you have faith in someone means more than that you believe they exist. To have faith in someone means that you trust them. It means you trust them to be the people that they say they are. You trust that they will do what they say they will do. You trust them with things that are valuable to you. You trust them with your life. You trust them. And to say that we have faith in God means that we entrust our very lives to God. It means that we entrust our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are willing to walk the way that he has called us to walk, which is the way of suffering, self-giving love. And Jesus says this morning that we don't need any more faith. We already have enough. It used to be a commercial years ago, many, many years ago. And I know I'm dating myself a little bit here, but I think it was for Brill Cream. Remember that Brill Cream that, you know, men used to put in their hair to get rid of the gray? But it was about Brill Cream, and the commercial said, you know, just a little dab will do you. And that's certainly what Jesus says about faith. Just a little dab will do you. All you need is the size of a mustard seed. And that's because faith is not some sort of scarce resource that needs to be added to. It's not some kind of scarce resource that needs to be increased, but faith is an orientation. Faith, as someone said, is simply and humbly doing what needs to be done. Faith is simply doing what God has called us to do. It is doing what God expects for us to do. And Jesus says we already have enough to do what God expects for us to do. That's the point that Jesus is making about that, with that small parable about the servants and the master. The servants simply do what they know they need to do, what the master expects for them to do. They do it. And that's what faith is like. It's simply doing what God expects for us to do, what God has called for us to do. Often we think of faith as the capacity to do big things, you know, difficult things. We kind of view faith in heroic terms, big things. And that's certainly true. Jesus often did big things, difficult things, and he enjoined his followers, his disciples, to do the same. Jesus said things like, love your enemies. He said things like, do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who abuse you. He said things like, turn the other cheek. Give to everyone who begs from you. Forgive your brother, not just once or twice, but forgive again and again and again. Big things, difficult things. I have to admit that sometimes when I hear that, I think, I don't know if I can do that. Lord, increase my faith. I was watching a little bit of the news the other day, and it was a trial, and a man was on trial. I believe it was can't think of his name, Alex Jones or somebody, but he was on trial because of, he was being sued by the parents of a shooting tragedy, Sandy Hook shooting tragedy, and he was being sued because he mocked the parents and said that it wasn't true. He just said some horrible things, and I was watching him there in that trial and thinking, if I were one of those parents and I was a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know if I would have it within me to be able to forgive him. There are some things that I'm not quite sure that I would be able to do. If I was someone suffering from abuse, like a woman I was reading about the other day, I'm not sure that I would be able to forgive my abuser. There are all kinds of things that I'm not sure I'd be able to do, and so I always pray, Lord, increase my faith. But Jesus says, you don't need any more faith. You have all the faith you need. You only have to exercise the faith that you have. But Jesus does expect us to do difficult things. He expects us to do big things. That's what he says this morning. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could uproot things. You could say to this sycamine tree, be uprooted, and it would be uprooted. And aren't there a lot of things in our world that needs to be uprooted? We need to uproot hatred and division. It needs to be uprooted in our world, in our society. We need to uproot prejudice in our society. We need to uproot poverty and deprivation in our society. There are all kinds of things that need to be uprooted in our society, all kinds of things that bring death and destruction and prevent people from living the kinds of lives that God desires for us to live. There are big things that you and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are called to be engaged in uprooting. And Jesus says we have the faith to do it. If we only live into our faith, if we only orient ourselves to doing what God has called us to do. Big things, difficult things. But here's the thing. I'm convinced that faithfulness starts with just, you know, the simple things. Faithfulness starts with the everyday small things, the things that are not necessarily considered to be heroic, things that, you know, we can all do. Small things, everyday things like praying regularly, going before God with the desires of our hearts, communing with God, communicating with God, praying is something that we can all do. Studying our Bibles, reading our Bibles, being familiar with our narrative, coming to church on a regular basis, coming to worship, that's a small, everyday thing. It's something that we can all do. That doesn't require a great deal, I imagine. We can all do that. Small, everyday, heroic things. And when we are faithful in doing these little things, then I think we'll find that we have the capacity to do even bigger things. Some of the things that Jesus talked about. We'll have the capacity to love each other. We'll have the capacity to love our enemies. We'll have the capacity to forgive those who hurt us. We'll have that capacity. We will be able to do those things because we have been exercising our faith. In the little ways and the big ones. Kathleen Norris, in a book that she wrote, amazing, called Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith, recalled that when she was asked in her church to give a Bible study to the women's circle, one of the women's circles, and they wanted her to do a Bible study on, you know, the Antichrist. There was a lot of concern several years ago about the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Who might the Antichrist be in the Bible? And she, it wasn't an assignment that she relished, that she was looking forward to, because she knows the historical tendency of how we like to, you know, look for the Antichrist, and sometimes we have more, you know, curiosity about the Antichrist than we do about Christ himself. Sometimes it's easy for us to associate the people that we don't like, the political leaders that we don't like, with, you know, the Antichrist. But she was asked to do this Bible study on the Antichrist, and something that perplexed her, and she went to the pastor for help, and the pastor said, look, this is something that people have been looking to down through the ages. They've always had this curiosity about the Antichrist, such, you know, historical saints as Augustine simply gave up on the notion of trying to find out who this Antichrist was. And so, you know, she was quite perplexed. But the pastor said something important to her. He said, each one of us acts as an Antichrist whenever we hear the gospel and do not do it. Sobering thought. Whenever we hear the gospel, whenever we hear Jesus calling us to live a certain way, whenever we hear Jesus asking us to follow him, and we refuse to do it, we are, in effect, being anti-Christ. The book of Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then it kind of chronicles a long list of heroes of the faith, the heroes that we read about whenever we read the Bible, the heroes that we read about in Sunday school. To me, they're not so much heroes. They seem like everyday ordinary people that, you know, are called to do sometimes ordinary things, sometimes extraordinary things, but they are people of faith, some of them who might have doubted in themselves but found out that they had within them the capacity to do what God had called them to do despite a lot of fits and uncertainties. They find that they're able to do what God calls them to do. But if we want an example of faith, we don't have to go any further than Jesus himself. You know, Jesus was the epitome of faith. Jesus was completely faithful, totally faithful and obedient to God. Jesus loved everybody. He loved God with all of his heart, and he loved his neighbor. Jesus forgave people just as God had called him to do. He loved people. He was concerned for people. He cared for people. He lifted people out of the misery that they were going through. He was completely faithful and obedient to God, even unto the cross. Even though he knew where it was going to end up, he was totally faithful and obedient to God. And sometimes when I think about Jesus, I think, well, I can't do that. I can't live like Jesus lived. I can't be as loving as Jesus was loving. I can't be as giving as Jesus was giving. I can't do the things that Jesus did. And Jesus says, yes, you can. You can do it. You have the faith. You have enough to do it. It's not a matter of what you can do. It's simply a matter of whether or not you will orient yourself to do it. Do you want to do it? Today is World Communion Sunday. And on this Sunday, we gather to remember that we are one with God's people all over the world. We are one with God's people in Africa. We are one with God's people in Asia. We are one with God's people south and north of our border. We are one with Christians down the block. We are one with Christians in other places in our country. We are one with Christians who don't look like us. We are one with Christians who don't worship like us. We are one with Christians who believe different things than we might believe. That's a hard one for me. What, you mean you believe this way and I believe this way? You're not one of us. But we gather to remind ourselves that we are one. And on this day, we even pray for our unity. But sometimes it's not enough to just pray for unity. You and I are called as people of faith to live into that oneness. We are called to uproot all the things that usually uproot us. We are called to uproot the things that divide us. We are called to uproot things like nationalism, things like racism, things like economic differences. We are called to uproot denominational differences. We are called to uproot all of those things so that we can begin to live as the people that God has called us to be. To be the faithful servants that God has called us to be. And often when we hear that, we say, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith so that we can live as one. Increase our faith so that we could be one loving body. Increase our faith so that we can overcome our divisions and differences. Increase our faith so that we can overcome things like nationalism and racism. Increase our faith so that we can live as your one undivided Catholic people. But Jesus says, no, you don't need any more. You don't need any more faith. You have enough. You have more than enough. You just have to start being faithful. You just have to start living into the little faith that you already have. And when you do that, you'll start to move mountains. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning for all of your people. We thank you this morning for your people who have faithfully come here this morning to worship and to praise your holy name. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to continue to be your faithful people. In so many ways, we are predisposed to say no. We are predisposed to live in the way that we want to live. We let all kinds of things prevent us from being faithful. But you have called us here this morning as your faithful people. And so we ask that you continue to blow your spirit upon us, empowering us to be the faithful people that you have called us to be. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.